When I came today, I didn't realize it was going to be a two-hanky service. But that's the way it is. Okay. We're reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. I took some liberties with the text. The word for Abba, Father, it turns out that in Aramaic, mother is Amma. Is that cool or what? Okay. As my Abba has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Amma's commandments and abide in her love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Abba. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that my Amma will give you whatever you ask her in my name. I am giving you these commandments so that you may love one another.
Thank you, Bruce. And yes, I know what time it is. We usually go till about 11:15 on the communion Sundays, often a bit longer, but I am aware of what time it is. So short and sweet. Two or three points, quick, but I don't want you to go away without these because I think they're worth hearing. The first is a joke that I learned this week that apparently pops up on the internet periodically. Basically, that Jesus' greatest miracle was that he was a man over 30 who had 12 close friends. I thought that was pretty good. But it also tells us something about Jesus. Jesus was a person of love and relationship, and Jesus created community. Those 12 weren't just relating to him. He helped them relate to each other and to many, many more. The women that we also know were there, the many more that were drawn to him. Jesus knew how to love and be loved. Sometimes, somehow, I think 2,000 years later, we miss what a wonderfully attractive, interesting, appealing, maybe not good looking, I'm not meaning that kind of attractive, I mean personally dynamic person he must have been. He got in trouble for having too much fun, for going to too many parties, for having dinner with the wrong people. What real rabbi would be criticized for enjoying life too much? Well, no, they thought that wasn't what a good rabbi should be doing, but that's what he did. And of course, missing the cultural context, we miss so much of the humor of the parables. We don't see the twinkle in his eye and the chuckle that I think must often have been there as he told his stories, or watch those 12 plus friends figure out how to deal with each other. So at the end of his life, when he knew time was running out, his message to them was, you know love, you have known love, I'm gonna keep loving you, and you need to keep loving each other. I'm sure he knew which of the 12 were least likely to get along in his absence. Jesus said, I'm letting you in on everything I know. You're no longer just my disciples. You're no longer just my students. You're my friends. I'm inviting you into the inner circle of my life and love in God, Abba, Amma. God's life and love with me, the Spirit's life and love flowing through all of us. Join in the dance. God, Spirit, do Jesus' Spirit is trying to weave us together in love over and over again. Love me, love each other, love God. We're all in this together. You can't get one without the other. And Jesus invited us to realize that we are his friends, God's friends. It's a shift from teacher-student to friends, like when the professor and mentor you've had shifts from being Dr. Whitehead and invites you to, after graduation perhaps, to have coffee and say, you can call me Baruch now if you want. Maybe you already do, but you know what I'm talking about? There's that shift that can happen when you finish high school and you go back and the teacher says, oh, you don't have to call me Miss Smith anymore. I can be your friend. That's some of what was happening. So Frederick Buechner, whom I have always loved as a writer and theologian, makes the point that friends are people that we make part of our lives just because. That when we get together with friends, there's not really an agenda. You're not trying to accomplish something. The point is just being together. You don't have to agree on everything. You may know the ways you clearly don't agree, and yet you want to be with your friends. And Buechner goes on to point out that in the Hebrew scriptures, it says that both Abraham and Moses were friends of God. Exodus 33:11, the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to a friend. And then in Isaiah, God calls Abraham my friend. And then I just love this image from Buechner. It's that this is not something that God could do by God's self. To be friends, it took Abraham and God. It took Abraham and Moses. Even God can't be a friend all alone. And he imagines, you can just sort of picture, Buechner says, Abraham, not standing at all, but sitting down, loosening up his prayer shawl, trimming the end off his cigar and lighting it, passing one to God. In that moment, he said, Abraham's not being a creature for the Creator, and God is not being the Creator. There is no agenda. They are simply being together, two of them, and being themselves. Can we imagine doing that with God? I imagine it more easily with Jesus than with the Creator. Jesus invites us into friendship, sitting down, shoes off, feet up on the couch, no agenda, simply being together, being ourselves with someone who knows us absolutely fully and loves us still. You are my friends, Jesus said, if you do what I command you. And of course, the command is love. Love me back, love each other. To be his friends, we have to also love each other. It's all about love and community. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's always connected. So when we come to this table, this communion moment, and remember Jesus, we're remembering his love, his life, his laying down his life for us as his friends. And we eat a bit of bread and take a little bit of juice. But surely we know that the communion that begins here keeps on happening in the community room, doesn't it? Wherever two or three gather together in Jesus' name, Jesus is there. We know that is true. And so the invitation is to just embrace the friendship with each other with Jesus, with God, to live into that love and enjoy it. Celebrate it. Believe and trust in it. Jesus is just as much with us over coffee or when we get together during the week as when we're in this sanctuary together. Jesus is always in and among us, inviting us to be with him and with each other. So I invite you to come to this table today as friends of God, to receive this little taste of heaven, this foretaste of paradise, of the glory, and know that we can trust it, believe it, and enjoy it. Celebrate it. Baptists tend to be really solemn about communion. But Eucharist, the word Eucharist is about celebrating. So we celebrate together this gift, this revelation of love, of joy in the midst of all that happens in life. That song, Goodness of God, I believe must have been inspired by the last words of Psalm 23. Surely goodness and mercy follow us, shall follow me, we typically say, but the Hebrew word actually means pursue us all the days of our lives. Goodness and mercy. Friendship with God.